things that people are saying.
Snack break!
Snook broke! Oh, I got to return that today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Welcome to Snack Break. It's a show that's recorded in my car.
Somewhere in the NPR impression.
Do you want to do it today?
Welcome to Snack Break. I am your host, Jay Barber. This is the show that's somewhere amidst the corporate lives of two sad young ones.
I don't know. We need a backing track, though. Like a cool, like, super hip indie, like...
Just like the beats.
Every NPR announcer like has a weird problem with their voice for some reason.
They have the very specific inflection. It's like they train them almost.
It is that. The inflection is there too. But each one has like a different problem that just drives me nuts. Like this one girl, she smacks. She's like...
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
I just think the inflections, like it's like they all went to the same speech class.
That is true.
It's always, like, a little bit exaggerated and a little bit overly formal, I guess. It's like, let me see if I can do the NPR. Welcome to Snack Break, the show that's recorded in my car, somewhere amidst the parking lots of corporate America. Like, it's, like, too, like, even keel and, like, you know what I mean?
They're all fresh air lady, she's just like... I've never listened to that one.
I always think Serial. Like,
she has like a nasal.
Serial's not NPR. Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, but I still listen to it, even though it bothers me.
So I thought we could pick up on where we left off last time. Mistakenly thought that I was recording with Bluetooth headphones, which I wasn't.
Oh wow.
Because you were saying something interesting, and then I completely bamboozled you.
It was...
So maybe we could do a part two.
I thought about this last night. I didn't watch the documentary that I wanted to watch, the one I was talking about. But I do know, and I kind of gained some more information, because I was talking to Dan about it, because Dan was the one that suggested it to me. And he said that in the documentary, I'll catch you up to speed. Like, the black guy wants to go into these KKK communities or meet with KKK members to... like, influence them, encourage them to change their mind, or just, like, get to know them and treat them as a, like, care about them. And I found out more info, like, that guy has actually received a lot of backlash from the Black Lives Matter community, because they're like, how could you talk to somebody who hates your guts? Like, and I'm sure it's more political than that. They're probably saying something like, you're making us look bad.
Dude.
You're ruining our cause, whatever.
But it's the same thing with Kanye.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're like, No, Trump is against us, and he's against our community. How dare you go talk to him? And Kanye's like, bro, like, I'm trying to change things.
Yeah, but Kanye said that weird thing, a couple weird things.
Well, Kanye's weird, but, like, that...
And he also lost, it's a bad PR move, because he lost 8 million followers at the moment.
No, that was actually, that was a glitch.
Oh, the what?
Yeah,
what?
He got
what?
He got them all back.
No.
He got them all back?
What do you
only
mean?
Looked like that.
What do you mean, glitch?
I don't know, but I Twitter might have done something on the back end. I don't know what
on
happened.
On purpose?
Maybe. It was only 15 minutes, and then if you checked again and refreshed, it was back to normal.
So
he didn't lose
up?
Any. Yeah, he's higher than he was.
Okay.
Because people want to, like, ultimately, like, even if you're, like, on the I Hate Kanye bus, you still kind of want to watch it happen.
Sure.
That's you know, true. It's like Trump's been gaining followers, too, you know?
Yeah.
Because people want to, like... be privy to that. But anyway, no, I think that's an interesting perspective, which is like,
well, here's
this
the,
person's
here's the question.
Against us, he's our enemy, how dare you?
Here's the
instead
question.
Of, like, how can we reach out to these people and try to influence them to, like, come together?
Okay, let's take it back a notch. Let's say that there's no hope and that we can't come together.
Ever.
So here's the question. Is it wrong or a bad idea to talk to somebody who has a complete, maybe even unethical disagreeable point of view than yourself? In other words, like racism, that's pretty unethical.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty inhumane.
And you're asking, is it okay to talk to them?
Is it not okay to talk to somebody like that? The Black Lives Matter people...
Oh, I think a lot of people would, because, like, boycottism is, like, very hot right now. So I think it's like...
But I can boycott a business and I can boycott a person, but that doesn't mean that I have to put down this boundary that says, I'm sorry, once you cross this threshold, I will not engage with you as a human being.
Well, I think I have a lot of experience with this sort of thing, because I think this is kind of the same reason that you have a lot of like evangelistic people in any, and I mean that in a general sense. I mean, religiously, sure, like people trying to share their faith, but also like an evangelist for technology or an evangelist for, you know, Twitter. Sure, I don't know, whatever.
Sure.
This is the same thing that prevents people from being evangelistic about the things they like or talking to somebody that may disagree with their point, because the fact of the matter is, when it comes down to it, they're scared that they don't know enough and that their viewpoint's going to be changed and their mind might get changed. And that's a scary perspective, because now you're going out on a limb and you're saying, I'm going to go to, and certainly not, I mean, this is a bad metaphor for like somebody who's hardcore racist, because I, you know, you're not going to have like, I'm not going to go talk to a hardcore KKK member and be like, you know what? I think you guys are on to something here. I'm going to sign me up. Like, that's not, you know, that's not going to happen. You all right? Do we need to take a break?
No. We're good. We're good.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, so it may be a bad metaphor for that, because I'm not going to become a racist by talking to a racist. That's impossible. But you might be a Buddhist. Sure. And you talk to, I'm just trying to choose generic. Like, oh, see, shouldn't say that either. Now I'm trying so hard to be PC. You might be somebody who believes in X, and you talk to somebody who believes in Y, and you're like, you know what? I think Y is pretty great. I'm going to switch to that. Like,
sure, there's fear.
And okay. So there's fear there, because you don't want to get it. You know, if you're like a, if you're like a entire, like, geez,
it's kind of like
hard.
It's like, but
this is hard to talk about because I don't want to.
When I listen to Chris Roseborough,
I'm so bad. I'm trying to like.
I had that fear.
I'm trying to like. Yesterday got me all messed up, dude. Yesterday was a weird day. I'm like so PC today. I just don't want to like argue with anybody about anything. It's the worst. I don't want to argue. I don't want to offend somebody. Like, I'm so scared I'm going to offend somebody because I don't. Well, that's not my intention ever. Like, ever.
No, I get it. And there's also the fear of being blocked. Like, what I'm talking about, this boundary.
Yes,
this boundary.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to say something, Daniel, that makes somebody be like, you know what, I used to like your content, but F you, buddy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I'm unfollowing.
Have you seen Black Mirror?
No, I hear good things.
Okay, so there's one episode with Jon Hamm, and he's like doing this service where he basically can wirelessly remote in people's contact lenses.
Okay.
And help them with a dating service. So he gives them advice and tips while they're out in the field. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And he witnesses a murder and then like shuts down the entire project because already he was doing something illegal or whatever. So I'm spoiled. This spoilers. So he's
it's too late.
No, that's all in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So then he's helping the police solve this other murder. So he's interviewing and telling his story to this guy to try to gain sympathy. And basically, Jon Hamm. After his wife found out, no. So he's interviewing this guy, and this guy is married to this girl. They have a great relationship, whatever. She's pregnant, and she starts drinking a bunch of alcohol because she doesn't want to have the baby. It's really sad. Wow. And so they have this fight that she gets mad, and she blocks him. They're all wearing these contact lenses and earbuds or whatever that basically have this social network built in.
Okay.
So she blocks him permanently. So his silhouette to her vision is all fuzzy. And his sound is all like whoa, 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 muffled. So she can't see him, she can't hear him, and he can't see her or hear her at all either for the rest of their lives. And it destroys him because he knows that she's pregnant. And he finds out later that she had the baby. So he kind of stalks her from afar and ends up getting like this boundary limit. He can't come within 200 feet from her or whatever. I don't know. And eventually she dies, which removes the block. And so now he can go see her kid. So he goes and sees his kid and finds out that the kid was actually, like, biracial from this other person that she had an affair with. And he waited all this time for the block to be removed to realize this. And he's super sad. And so it's crazy because it all, like, stemmed from this concept of blocking an individual.
Right. So they were like, what if you took the concept of blocking somebody on social media into real life?
Into real life. And that's what people are doing.
They're trying to.
With ideas, though.
Absolutely.
If we disagree with an idea, and in the thing, it's a trivial argument. She feels guilty about the affair. That's why she didn't want to have the baby. So she blocks him because she thinks that's the easiest route to get peace back and, like, relieve her guilt.
Right, but it doesn't work.
And Jon Hamm ends up, like, helping the police, and so they lessen his punishment. He was going to go to jail, but instead they let him walk free under the one condition that he's blocked by everybody. And he's registered on the list of offenders.
Wow, so he's just a ghost.
So he's just a ghost. But he's a red ghost. Everybody else has a gray silhouette who's blocked or whatever, but he has a red silhouette.
So people, like, avoid
and he
him?
Can only other, he can only see other offenders. And so all, he can't see a single person. He just lives through life.
Sounds creepy.
But that's what people are doing. If we disagree, if we just have a small fight, it's like ghosting. You either ghost somebody, either on social media. I've ghosted people before, and I feel terrible about it.
I wonder why. Like, what's the psychological base of being so mad over somebody having a differing opinion from you that you're like, I absolutely cannot stand to talk to this person ever again. I can't be around this person. I can't hear their ideas. It's so fascinating to me. I need to do more research on that because, like, honestly, what is that?
Well,
like,
in the medical field, we study people that have, like, disagreeing opinions to the extreme on purpose for the benefit of society. You could also benefit yourself by gaining another person's perspective by just listening to it and being like, okay, I disagree with that, but at least I understand
it. I have felt that trepidation when I'm in an argument with a friend and I realize, like, oh, no, this is going south. And I have a real, honest, genuine fear that they're like, well, this person hates me now. And that's that. I guess there goes that friendship. And that's weird. I wonder what causes that. Instead of just thinking like to yourself, like, oh, we're disagreeing right now.
I don't know.
Like, why does it even feel bad in the first place to have somebody disagree with your opinion? That's got to be a pride thing, right?
Yeah.
Because it's very important. It's more important to be right than it is to, like, explore an idea.
And I feel it even with people I'm friends with that we don't disagree on, like, maybe social or political issues. We just disagree on, let's say, like, coding best practices or whatever, something trivial like that.
Sure.
I feel it inside of myself. So I can assume that it's amped up and, like, cranked up a whole lot when it comes to social issues, gender issues, race issues, or political issues. Like,
well, I try really hard to have issues, friends on both ends of the spectrum, mainly because I have a pretty low view of myself. So I know that, like, on any given topic, I could 100% be wrong. And there's a strong likelihood that I may be wrong.
Yeah.
So I actually have friends that are extremely far left, like, trying to create the next utopia through, you know, like, enforcing equality norms and stuff. And then I've got friends that are like, you'll take my guns from my cold, dead hands, make America great again. And, like, I have both. Like, I literally...
Don't bother me. I'm going to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I got both. And I want to hear perspective. But sometimes it gets uncomfortable in conversations because sometimes there's an issue that I am settled on that I know 100% this is what I think about this.
But you're not going to drop
And then
them.
I've got somebody telling me in front of me, like, no, you're wrong and your ideas are regressive and you're a caveman. And I'm like, whoa.
Or maybe offensive.
Like,
not
that feels bad. And, like, I want to lash out sometimes because, you know, we all have that pride inside us. Even the people like myself who love to virtue signal and talk about how moderate we are. I'm still like,
virtue signaling,
I want to stab this person right now because he's wrong. Like,
yeah.
So, like, there's some of that. But I try to push that way down deep and not bring it up because I know that that's dumb.
It's selfish.
And it's not helpful. Like, it's not helpful to me or society. Like, for me to just be like, no, that's a blacklist idea. Shut it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it reminds me of the Gina Eilers interview. Did you ever listen to that?
Oh, I loved that episode.
So she...
I've actually shared that. I am bad about supporting the content creators I like. I'm the worst. Like, so I get it. I never begrudge anyone who doesn't, like, share the show or, like, share my Twitch stream because I'm like, I get it. I'm traditionally lazy about that. That episode I shared with, like, 50-100 people. That was such an important episode.
Yeah, if you don't know, go listen to Gina Eiler's
interviews. Just type in Virtue in the Wasteland is the name of the show. And then Gina, G-I-N-A.
Eilers.
E-I-L-E-R-S.
Yeah. There's a part one and part two. But she makes this comment. He or she makes this comment.
It is a trans woman. So a man that transitioned to a woman due to deep issues with gender dysphoria. But who also has a complete realization that they have gender dysphoria and understand that what they're doing in their view, in their opinion, is quote-unquote sinful or wrong. But they did it basically to, like, save their life because they had to do it or they were going to do something horrible to themselves.
They came from a Lutheran background.
But it was so weird because they were being, like, shunned by both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
The hardcore trans movement hated her because she didn't believe that it was, like, she wasn't like celebrating it.
Well, she believed, and then she believed one basic principle was that you should care about everybody and other individuals. And she thought it was a severe double standard because she went to these support groups and she would sit in these support groups and they would be like, I came out as trans and my family completely like disowned me or whatever. And like, they didn't support me. So you know what I did? I said like, F them, I'm out.
Yeah.
And he's like, Gina Eilers, she goes, that's a complete double standard. You're basically saying, I want full acceptance, yet the moment somebody else disagrees with what you're doing, you drop them.
Right.
You ghost them from your relationship. And these people sometimes will not call, text, or ever see their families hopefully. I mean, like.
And I get it. That's a painful thing to have somebody, like, reject you for such a deep decision that to you is so central and important to who you are. Like, I get that. But I also get the other perspective. But anyway, it was fascinating because not only did they shun her, but then the religious establishment also was like, trans bad! Rah! And like, so she's like, I've got nobody because both sides of the spectrum, I'm not bought in enough to the ideology on either side that they're both like blacklisted. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because really, in a perfect world, she should be accepted by both sides because she agrees with aspects from both. But not anyway. Fascinating interview. Go check it out. Virgin of the Wasteland's a great show to begin with.
Yeah.
Super interesting to listen to every time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So what's the conclusion here? I feel like we got to wrap this up or I'm going to feel weird about it all day. Because I feel like we're just kind of like
Two
guys in a car complaining about society.
I just think
it feels bad. Like, how do we make it better, right?
I just think it's fascinating that people are so quick to shun and put down barriers. And I get it.
Because it's hurtful to them, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The reason that we're so willing to block the other person is because we're so scared that they're going to do some sort of violence to our ego and our pride by disagreeing with our opinion.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's, like, so selfish, like you said. That selfish is the perfect word for it. Like, and I get it, but, like, we got to strive. I guess that's the conclusion for me.
Like,
I'll let you go. It's, like, my conclusion is, like freaking try to love people.
Yeah.
Try to hear everyone out. Like, even if what they're saying is just so offensive to you or crazy, just remember, like, they're not attacking you. Like, they believe what they believe for a reason, and maybe if you can understand their, like, motive or their perspective, even though you can still completely disagree with what they're saying, you can find a way to still be relational and still have some sort of relationship with that person, and just try to, like, not be, like, you're not the authority on anything, really.
Yeah.
You're the authority on, like, your body and your family, whatever, but like, you're not the authority on like transgender issues. You're not the authority on religion. You're not the authority on, right? You know what I mean? Like,
So
like, take your anthropology down a notch and just realize that you are flawed just like everyone else around you.
No!
and maybe you're wrong. That's all I got. Tell you go.
yeah, that's a good conclusion. Like, care about the other person. But also, like, don't be so quick to drop another human just because they disagree. You can still disagree and, like, proclaim and support your beliefs on any platform that you wish. Like, just because you, like, hear somebody out that you disagree with doesn't lessen your impact to promote good ideas or what you think would be good ideas. Does that make sense? Like, some people think that by hearing somebody out, you're like, no, you're ruining our message. We're trying to stand up for this thing.
Giving them a platform to, like, spread their hate and their lies.
Well, it's not spreading to me and they're just talking to me. So what's the problem here?
Well, not only that, but also, like, if we truly have a free marketplace of ideas and their idea is bad, like, it won't stand up in the marketplace.
Sure.
So letting them talk isn't hurting anybody.
Yeah.
Because actually letting them talk is going to just, like, prove that they're bad if you let them, like, give them a platform to be like, all right, you know what, why don't you I think somebody did that recently, if I recall, like, there was some sort of like a Black Lives Matter movement or something, and I can't remember.
Was it the
I'm completely making this up, but it's something like this, where there was like a Black Lives Matter protest and some freaking crazy KKK guy came up and they, like, gave him 10 minutes on the mic. They're like, all right, you know what, brother, just say your piece. And he was just up there like, let me tell you something about the blacks. And, like, he was doing the whole thing. And people, patiently waited and, like, listened. And then...
softly booed him.
And then they were like, okay, you know, thank you. And he, like, shook hands. And then he, like, wandered off. And he went away. And I was like, to me, that does so much more damage to his case that, like, oh, you know, black people are savages. And it's like, I don't know, man. It seems like they treated you pretty compassionately there. Like,
yeah.
Like, and so, like, giving that person a platform not only made him look dumb, but it, like, made everyone that was at the protest look super chill and, like, loving and respectful. So, like, I don't know. I'd like to see some more of that in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might be late. Bye. Thanks for listening. Anchor.com.